We're about to talk about the blood that flows through our veins.
How much of my mother has my mother left in me? How much of my love will be insane to some degree? And what about this feeling that I'm never good enough? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? How much of my father am I destined to become? Will I dim the lights inside me just to satisfy someone? Will I let this woman kill me or do away with jealous love? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood?
John Mayer, we may not think about what blood type we have, except to know that some types are more on demand than others when we give blood, and the importance medically and scientifically of blood type has been clouded a bit by a kind of blood type astrology which has become fashionable even outside Japan, where it seemed to originate. This is the concept of Ketsuigata, which posits that blood type shapes temperament. But what can it shape? To what extent can it shape your health outcomes? Your blood type is a way to categorize your blood, of course, according to the antigens in it, including the rhesus or Rh factor. This is new research now out of the United States from the University of Maryland's Medical School. It's in the journal Neurology. The lead author is an internationally prominent genetic epidemiologist, Professor Braxton Mitchell. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
We know that more and more younger people are suffering from strokes. I've heard examples myself. Your study suggests their blood type could be a determining factor?
Yes, that's right. And I'd first like to say that strokes are a devastating condition, but if a young person gets a stroke, it's particularly devastating in light of the fact that they're is often many years of debilitation ahead. So we've been particularly interested in looking at the causes of young stroke, and particularly the genetic causes of young stroke. So we carried out what we call a genome-wide association study, where we compared genetic variants across 17,000 cases of early onset stroke, and that many again controls. And we found a major difference where the early onset cases were much more likely to have a variant that coded for blood group A compared to late onset stroke folks.
And about a third of all people, I think, are type A. That's a big cohort.
Yes, it is. And so the early onset cases were more likely, they were 16% more likely to have blood group A compared to the controls.
Okay.
And that's for early onset stroke. For late onset stroke, it's been known for a long while that blood group A is associated with stroke. But what was new in our study was that the association is particularly strong for early onset stroke.
And if you have blood type O, which is another big cohort of people, you've got a lower risk, haven't you?
That's right. That's right, because if you've got blood group A, you don't have blood group O. So blood group O is protective, and blood group A is the risk blood group.
We know, of course, that social isolation and loneliness and even poor sleep can predispose, all sorts of things can predispose people to strokes and heart attacks. So how strongly does blood type figure, do you think, as a factor compared with them?
That's a very good point. You shouldn't be worried about your blood type in terms of stroke. There are other risk factors for stroke, including the ones that you mentioned, but also more modifiable risk factors like hypertension and smoking that are much more potent risk factors for stroke. So if we really wanted to reduce our stroke risk, those are the factors that we should be really concerned about.
What's your theory, though, as to why people with type A may be more at risk and those with type O blood less at risk?
So that's a great question. And the thinking is that people with blood group A are more susceptible to clotting. And we tested that by asking if people with blood group A are also more likely to have a younger onset of other clotting related conditions. And the answer is yes, they are. So what we don't know yet is, why is it that blood group A makes you more susceptible to clotting? And it's probably due to a number of different factors, but that's a very active area in the field trying to figure that out.
But blood flow to the brain is disrupted, basically.
Down the line, it gets disrupted. If you have blood group A, which does make you more susceptible to clotting, that's where the disruption of blood flow to the brain comes in.
So this is a preliminary finding, as it were. There's more work to do. But in what way might it be useful in terms of prevention?
I told you that some of the main risk factors for stroke are things like hypertension, smoking. What we don't know yet, but what we think may be possible, is that if you have those risk factors and you also have blood group A, does that accentuate the effect of those risk factors? Does that make them stronger? So that's an area we're looking at. We're going back through our data now and doing some sub-analyses on. And it looks like that may be the case for at least some risk factors.
Understood. So if you're type A and your blood pressure is good and you're eating well and you're exercising, you can, as you've implied, possibly relax quite a bit hearing this. We can infer that if you have unhealthy habits, that's when you might start being legitimately concerned.
That's right.
And it sounds like, from what you said, that at some point we may come up with something that you simply put into type A blood that does something. I don't know. You know, we all know about warfarin thinning blood. There might be something you could add.
I don't know about adding something to the blood. Blood group A has markers that sit on red blood cells, but these markers also sit on other vascular cells, and they serve as receptors for inflammatory and other factors, and they all conspire to probably increase your risk in clotting in some way. So we're trying figuring that out. And yes, so maybe there's a target in somewhere in that pathway to intervene on.
What blood can determine is fascinating. There was a big Chinese study, this is argued about, I know, that concluded that type A people were also more susceptible to infection from COVID, and again, type O people less at risk. And we wonder how that could be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm glad you brought that up. And it may be some of the same mechanisms going on, either a stroke related to COVID, hemorrhages or so on. But it may be some of the same underlying mechanisms going on.
We already knew, didn't we? I'm relying on reading here, obviously, but about the ABO gene present in people with A, B, or AB blood types being at greater risk of heart attacks, and the only blood type that doesn't have this gene is type O?
That's right. So yeah, type O is the absence of these variants that code for the for this A cell marker or the B cell marker.
Is the ABO gene also somehow connected with brain function and memory loss? I was reading out of Penn State University, people who have types A, B, and AB are up to 82% more likely to develop cognition and memory problems, which can lead to dementia, again, compared to those with type O. Can we make these kinds of claims or not?
You know, that there's a lot of interest in looking at differences across a number of domains between the blood groups, but this certainly seems to be a very important locus gene affecting not just blood group but many other areas peripherally.
I don't know how that would work because my memory is not outstanding by any means, and I'm type O.
Well, just imagine if you were type A.
Professor Braxton Mitchell is with us. It goes beyond neurological issues. People with type A blood have been found to have a higher risk of stomach cancer, specifically, compared with those who have other blood types. It's so interesting, this area.
I agree with you. Why that is it's certainly a mystery to me.
Type B people also have an increased risk of heart disease and of ovarian cancer. ABs have increased risk of heart disease and of pregnant women developing preeclampsia. Type O individuals, it's not like they have magic blood. They're more likely to develop ulcers, attract mosquitoes, and have Achilles tendon injuries. So studies have shown all this, but it is set in stone or not so much yet?
I think it's probably a mix. Certainly some things, some observations have been replicated. As you know, replication is a keystone to science, just to make sure the initial finding wasn't by chance. So I think with ABO blood group, many of the differences that have been seen between blood groups have held up. Some, I think, are novel and are waiting to be replicated. But, you know, these cell markers, the A blood group has this cell surface marker on top of the red blood cells, but also sitting on platelets, which are involved in clotting, also sitting on vascular cells. The B blood group B also has a slightly different cell surface marker sitting there. Blood group O does not have any markers. So there's lots of potential for the immune system to be interacting with these markers. It may be that the immune system, in some cases, inappropriately sees these cell surface markers, doesn't recognize it as self. We think this may be what's going on with COVID, and attacks these cells, creating havoc. And for such a generalized sort of inappropriate immune response, you can imagine that this could affect multiple different phenotypes and domains.
And that happens so often in the body in different ways. I mean, if we can ever teach the blood cells to properly attack and as opposed to properly defending, for example, we'd make a major breakthrough, wouldn't we?
Oh, we sure would. And that's, as you know, that's certainly one of the current areas of cancer research is immunotherapy and trying to train the body to go after cancer cells and spare non-cancer cells.
Speaking of cancer, for anybody who's just joined the conversation and is getting a bit alarmed, I see in the journal Nature this past week that half of all cancers globally are preventable through not smoking, as you said, not drinking a lot and getting your weight down. So again, blood type would be indicative, but it's not destiny, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. I think you hit the nail on the head with cancers, with heart disease, diabetes. These conditions all have genetic components, but the genetic components are by no means destiny. Lifestyle overrules genetics for almost all of these.
Before you came on, speaking of destiny, we were talking about how blood type could influence personality. Not that I'm saying it could, but that's quite popular in the world, especially in Japan. Can I ask what type you are?
I am type B.
You're supposed to be strong, passionate, empathetic, and decisive.
You nailed it.
I guess it amuses you to read about blood type personality because there wouldn't seem to be in science any possible cause for blood influencing your predispositions and emotions and such, would there?
Well, that's right. But I like to keep an open mind. Just because we can't see one doesn't mean that something doesn't exist somewhere.
And
we haven't figured it out yet.
Thank you very much for being able to join us to talk about this fascinating topic. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed this.
Professor Braxton Mitchell.